possibility of this life. But you promised to walk in a place where the things that hinder my fate will be truly under my feet, and by thy spirit I will be in full control and take good hold of all the things that's been promised in your word. So lead me on to a deeper life. Lord, you know what I face inside. All the things that cause me strife, from you I cannot hide. Bring forth a healing to my soul, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Peace of mind, peace of mind, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Lead me on to a deeper life. Lord, you know what I face inside. All the things that cause me strife, from you I cannot hide. Bring forth a healing to my soul, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Peace of mind, peace of mind, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. A longing only you can satisfy, oh my Lord. So I'm laying my sin and weight aside, may your grace and mercy even more above. And lead me higher, lead me on to a deeper life. Lord, you know what I face inside. All the things that cause me strife, from you I cannot hide. Bring forth a healing to my soul, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Peace of mind, peace of mind, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Lead me on to a deeper life. Lord, you know what I face inside. All the things that cause me strife, from you of a healing to my soul, healing and rest for me and peace of mind. Peace of mind, peace of mind, healing and rest for me and peace of mind.
Amen. We have Brother Will coming. Walking up those seven steps unto perfection.
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Be I am the temple holy.
One more time, hallelujah.
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection.
Hallelujah.
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I am the temple of the
Amen. I didn't know Brother Shepherd was coming. My. Amen. Let's clap. Let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Amen. I would like to wish Brother Dube a happy birthday.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not the Lord that told me.
Amen.
It's the
God bless you, saints.
Commerce. It's the internet.
We sang this song, me and Brother George and Brother Shepherd, 7.5 years ago. We sang it for Sister Dube when she first came. If you will remember, sister. But today we want to sing it again, just as a way of saying goodbye to my father. He's going back tomorrow, so we wanted to sing this for him.
Mwari baba wangu dino na wanu waka. Baba wangu ndino na wanu wakasi ya nzira yenyu wari warasiki kwazvo asi ndinotenda kuti munhu garai 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 neni garai neni ndoko singaperi garai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi pasi panopo se ndinoona kuti zviro zvose zvichapera imi munogara garai ugarai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi garai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi vanhu vanobarwa ivo vanokura asi kufa kuchauya baba garai neni garai ugarai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi garai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi kuti chema nema tango tsiko acha berani shafara baba garai ni garai wo garai neti garai ne garai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi garai ugarai garai neni garai neni ndoko singaperi garai neni garai neni
sinners are Jesus yeah. To change my sorrow into His glorious day and to be how wonderful is love, oh such love, such love, such love.
Such love. Let's open our Bible straight away. Saints, we'll continue with the same thought of the song, John chapter 13, verse 34. While you're turning there, we just wanted to say a good farewell to Mr. Cheninga as he had traveled back. May the Lord give him traveling mercies. It's been good to be with you. Greet everyone back home. God bless you. Amen. Also, Brother Wim was asking if we can remember his niece Prisca. She's unwell. She's a believer who's made many mistakes. She got away from the Lord. If the saints could pray for her, that she may make her life right with the Lord again. So we want to pray for her. And Brother Orel is asking for prayer for his mother, who's seriously ill. She's been diagnosed with cancer in her spine. So we do want to remember that before the Lord. Let's read our scripture first before we come to pray. John chapter 13. Let's read the 11th commandment, verse 34 and verse 35. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's a serious thought. Jesus gives us the true badge of discipleship. It's not knowledge. It's not prophecy, it's not tongues, all the things Paul speaks about. He says, by this agape love shall all men know that you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. Let's also read 1 John chapter 4. Let's see John again being the apostle of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. My. Amen. You know, we sing those songs like we sing them at home with the children. You know, beloved, let us love one another. But it's a very serious thing that John is saying. John is saying, if you can't love with a agape love, you don't know God. He says, but if you know God, the proof of knowing God is you can love with agape love. You can love with divine love. Let's read one more. 1 John chapter 3. Just skip back to the previous chapter. John again now, he's giving us how we can know that we've passed from death to life. 1 John 3:14. He says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's how we know. Amen. You don't know that you pass from death to life in any other way. He's saying, if you want to know if you pass from death to life, you'll know it because you love the brethren. And that's agape love again. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. My. That's a strong one. Paul tells us in Corinthians, we can prophesy, we can have all knowledge, we can have all faith and not have love. So we can still be in death, abiding in eternal death. And we show it by not loving our brethren. If you don't love your brother with agape love, you are abiding in death as we speak. My, the Lord has really, really got some strong things in His Word. He says, whoever hates his brother, verse 15, is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. Oh, Father, how agape love, Lord. Father, we know the song says, mercy rewrote my life. But Father, just to have tasted of the fountain of divine love. Father, even as Your word says, we love You because You first loved us. And Father, just that drink from that fountain that can never run dry. Father, how it changes and transforms, Lord. How it makes us love even our enemies. How, Lord, it makes us look at people in a different way. How it makes us look at life in a different way. How it makes us look at You in such a different way. And Father, we long, Lord, to partake of a greater portion. Father, even as Your prophet says, what the church needs is a fresh baptism of love. Father, with this agape love, Lord, even as the prophet said, Lord, that John would sit in his old age and would cry out. Maybe when he couldn't preach, you'd just say, love one another. Amen. Oh, Father, let it be the desire of our heart upon this day. Because, Lord, You'll always give us our own desire. And, Lord, these petitions, we do pray, Lord, for our precious brothers. You travel back, Mr. Chininga, back to Zimbabwe. May You bless him. Father, may You watch over him, keep him and protect him. May You bless his affairs that are there, Lord. May Amen. Your hand continually be upon him, we pray. And, Father, Brother Wilmore's, Lord, cousin or niece, Prisca, we want to pray for her, Lord, upon this day. Amen. Father, Your word says You are married to the backslider. Father, You said You've loved us with an everlasting love. So, Lord, You look down upon her today the same as You always have. And, Lord, we just pray You'd reveal that to her, that she may look back to You in the way that she used to look to You. Father, let there be a restoration. And, Lord, for our brother with her mother with this cancer, Lord, it's nothing to You, Lord. Father, it's nothing for You even now just to look down through the power, Lord, of Your grace and Your love and Your mercy. And Father, that will just disappear. Father, it will just become a nothing. Father, may You use it for Your glory as a testimony, we pray. As Lord, we do thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. We'd like to speak this morning about love from above. It's taken from a quote. When the prophet says, agape love is love from above. He says, filio love is love from down here. No, it's like at a different level of love. Also, let's keep Brother Brian and Sister Deirdre in prayer. They've gone to Malta for 2 weeks. Let's remember them at the end of the service. Some people have all the luck. They've gone for 2 weeks in the sunshine. So let's keep them in prayer as well. This particular thought of agape love, where it came from, you know, when you read about the future home, and you read about the first resurrection, and you read about the millennium, and you read about all the great things that God has in store for His people, you always wonder, but what is the real entry requirement for these things? You know, what is the real, real thing? Because I'm sure every single one of us, we want to know that we know. We want to know that, you know, we've met the requirements, we've met the qualifications, because we want to be there. You know, you don't just want to read about these places, and it's wonderful to read, get future home, and you know, you just go in your mind and you think of the wonderful things that the Lord has in store, and you read of the millennium and the wedding supper and all these different things. But you'd really, you know, like to really make sure in yourself, like the prophet says, he says, I don't mind if my jacket doesn't match my trousers, but I want to make sure that my experience matches the Bible. You know, so you'd want to make sure that what you've got inside of yourself, inside of your soul, it matches what the Bible says is required to enter into that realm, enter into that land. And, you know, and the prophet made it so clear. If you listen to the message, Rejected King, 1960, when he first went beyond the curtain of time. Now, he got there. We know the things that he saw when he was there. But the thing that what really struck me this week, it got me thinking down this line. When you're thinking about those people that are waiting there to come back in the first resurrection. Those saints that are waiting in that particular realm. And the prophet says, and I heard a voice that spoke to me that was in the room, and it said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love. And nothing can enter here without it. My. So the entry requirement to the first resurrection is perfect love. If we were to pass from this body now, if maybe went in a car accident, or if the Lord took us home now before His return, you know, the only way that we could enter into that place beyond the curtain of time to be with those saints that have gathered waiting to come back in the first resurrection, which is to be a recipient of perfect love. Now, he actually goes on in the book of Adoption when he preaches this a little bit later on, and he says, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For that's all that there was there. When he got there, he says, there was nothing else but perfect love. My. So I'm sure you and I would really, really want to make sure we got perfect love. Because if it's a thus saith the Lord that we cannot enter that place. And I mean, entering into that realm beyond the curtain of time has the same requirement as going in the rapture, because the saints from there are going to come down and unite with saints here. You know, so there's going to have to be a real compatibility of experience. Those that have gone before and those that are alive and remain, they're going to have the same qualifications in order to go forth in the first resurrection. So whether we're alive or whether we pass on, we've got to be recipients of perfect love. Yes. And there's something about this perfect love. You know, there's something about love. You know, that's why we can focus on many things, and in many different places in the message we do it. Certain people make this a certain requirement for the rapture, and people make something else a requirement for the rapture. You've got to follow this, or you've got to follow this person. It's been there ever since we first got in the message. There's always going to be things rising up, and if you don't follow this particular brand of the message, you don't have rapturing faith in that. But I don't know where the saints get it from, because the only requirement you'll find in the message is perfect love. Amen. That's the thus saith the Lord. If we want to be there, there's no other requirement. Everything else can be deceiving. Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, though I have faith to remove mountains and have not love, so we can have all these things without perfect love. He says, though I have all knowledge, you know, we can study the seals, we can expound on the deep things of the message, but we don't have love. Yeah. It's possible to do that without love, Paul tells us. He says, it profits me nothing. No, he says, I can move mountains. He says, I can speak in tongues of men and angels. If anybody ever spoke in tongues, it's the most sweet and precious experience that you can have. You can speak in tongues of angels, but it doesn't mean you've got perfect love. It's a wonderful experience. He says, though I can prophesy. Prophesying, Paul says, desire to prophesy. Earnestly desire. It's a good thing to do. To prophesy is a wonderful thing. But he says, you can prophesy and still not have love. So all of those things, we can take none of those things as being the requirement for a believer to be in the rapture. Now for us to inherit the third pool, in the end, when it unfolds into the final stage of the third pool, in order for us to be changed and to go into that glorious realm that the prophet speaks about, he tells us himself, when he got there, the voice spoke to him and said, this is perfect love. And nothing can enter here without it. So that place that he went to was a land of perfect love. He says, that's all that there was perfect love. You know, so I'm sure that you, like me, you'd want to really make sure that you get perfect love now. And that's maybe what you just want to look at today, is this love from above, this perfect love. Now, what is perfect love? How does it express itself? How do we know that we've got this perfect love? Because, you know, I want to be there that day. I don't want to labor in vain. Now, Paul says we can give our bodies to be burnt. We can offer ourselves as a sacrifice like that. And if you don't have perfect love, it's going to profit us nothing at all. It's not going to be acceptable. So there's something really vital about this entire thought of perfect love. Now, the person who speaks the most about agape love, perfect love, is John. We know John is called the apostle of love. Amen. And that's really interesting, because John types the bride. And John is the eagle. And John was the one that was taken up and saw all these things. He saw the new heavens and the new earth. He saw the millennium. He saw the saints beyond the curtain of time. You know, he saw his people, the prophet said. So, you know, it was quite fitting that John would be caught up into that realm of perfect love to see this full expression of redemption, of what perfect love will unfold itself to. He was the right kind of a candidate, because the Bible says he was the disciple that Jesus loved. You know, because Jesus loved him, there was a something special that Jesus loved in John. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And because Jesus loved John, and John knew that he had a special love from Jesus, John in turn became the apostle of love. He became the one that could really express divine love and explain this divine love. And you know, and John speaks in the book of John of many things that the other apostles don't speak about. You know, he gets into many of the mysteries there. Things Jesus spoke of as he came to the end of his ministry. What Jesus said at the Last Supper. All those things. The great high priest prayer in John 17. None of the others speak about it. But the main focus of John as you get into the epistles is love. There's no way you can get away from that theme that he has when he's trying to exhort people to say love one another. That was the most important thing that he was preaching about. So this is agape love. This isn't just any kind of love. We know that love has different levels. We can come right down to lust, which would be called eros love, erotic love. I mean, that's not even hardly a shadow of a shadow of the real thing, but it's a type of love, they say. Then you get up into the realm of human love, you know, filial love, love where you love somebody because there's something lovable inside of them. You know, you're attracted to somebody, so you love somebody. That you love a certain characteristic, you love the way that they look. So it draws out an attribute of love from you. So it's a love that, filial love is love that you'll continue to love as long as you keep getting something in return. And the vast majority of marriages in the world are based on filial love, and that's why they don't last. Because as long as the wife, she keeps her figure, and as long as the wife, she still looks as pretty as she used to be, as long as the wife still keeps doing things the way that she did, you'll keep loving your wife. But the moment the children come, the moment maybe she goes through trouble, or she goes through menopause or whatever, because the man's not getting from his wife what he wants to get, he doesn't love his wife anymore. That's not real love. I mean, that's not the type of love that you would desire. But agape love is a higher love. Agape love is divine love. Agape love is unconditional love. Agape love is a love that will love even if it gets nothing in return. It's an unchanging love because it comes from an unchanging God. Just as much as the Bible says that God has life within himself, he doesn't need anybody to minister life to him. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. So too is he the inexhaustible fountain of love. Because God is love. God can never run out of love. God's love can never change. God doesn't need someone to minister love to him because his love is running out. We do. We need it on a regular basis. Our love can wax cold because iniquity shall abound. No circumstances can surround us. But a genuine born-again believer can never lose agape love. It's always there. You were born in the realm of agape love. You can never lose the essence of love, but you can lose the intensity of love. That love can be overwhelmed by circumstances, overwhelmed by physical sickness, whatever it is. Now you can get low in spirit, and you can find that you don't express love the way that you used to. But it's still down there somewhere. But God never ever is like that. And that's why God will never love you more than he does now. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. Because this is an unconditional love. God doesn't love you because he's trying to get something from you. And if you don't do it, he's not going to love you anymore. That's human love. That's filial love. But God's love is perfect love. This is unconquerable love. This is love that cannot change. That when he sets his affection upon you, he's made up his mind. It's never going to change. That's why it says in the Old Testament, I've loved you with an everlasting love. This is though the mountains and the hills be removed, but my covenant of love to you will never be taken away. But we many times, we look at God through our own lens, through our own humanity, and we think, oh, I did this or I didn't do that. I think God doesn't love me anymore. God's love isn't like that. God's love is unconditional love. Amen. This is agape love. And the prophet gives us the perfect definition. He says there's two different kinds of love. One of them, the Greek word filial love. That's the love that you have for your wife and your kids. He says that kind of love is not the true love. He says, although I know you little teenagers want to believe that because they read all those books called True Love, which is all about filial love or not even filial love. It's about erotic love and stuff. But that's not the real love. The prophet says that kind of love, filial love, will make you jealous of your wife. You'll take a pistol and blow a man's brains out because of her. So because of that kind of a love, if a man came and maybe put his arm, the prophet says, around your wife, you'd feel a jealousy. You'd want to do that man in. That's the natural reaction that filial love has to a circumstance. But the prophet says, but agape love will make you get down and pray for that man's soul. My.
Amen.
That's another kind of love. That's perfect love. Now naturally we're going to have filial love as well. There's nothing wrong with filial love. You know, even the Bible says God has filial love. This, he has an aspect of himself that there's certain things that we can do that God will really bless us for doing those things. He's pleased with those things. He loved John. He was the apostle that Jesus loved more than the rest. So there was something in John that brought out a certain essence of love from Jesus that wasn't brought out by the other disciples. That's okay. So nothing wrong with filial love. But don't ever let your life be governed by filial love. Now you've got to have filial love for your children, for your wife and that. But when it gets to a certain place, a believer's got to kick into the gear of agape love. You've got to be able to move beyond the natural tendency of filial love, jealousy and all those kind of things, and kick into a higher realm so that another essence, another force can come down, and this force is perfect love. And you can allow your behavior and your attitude towards someone to be governed from a higher level with divine love. And that's how the prophet says, agape love will make you get down on your knees and pray for that man's soul. It doesn't mean you're not going to go and tell the man first, hey, get your hand off my wife. I mean, it doesn't make you a fool, agape love. You're going to say, leave my wife alone. But you're not going to go home if you're living in the realm of agape love and think of revenge. And think of what can I do to that man? How can that man even have done that, approach my wife in that kind of a way? And then you're thinking of it, you're meditating on it, you're getting all sort of bitterness inside of yourself. Then you start speaking to other people about it. You start contaminating other people's opinions as well. I mean, it's easy to do that, but that's not agape love. Agape love is when you get back home and your wife says, I never wanted that man to do that to me, or whatever it was that happened. You get yourself in prayer, and something else comes and starts taking over. And you start feeling the way that God feels towards that situation. And you make a conscious decision. I'm not going to take revenge on this man, Lord. You help this man's soul. Lord, help this man to realize that he's on his way to hell. How can a man think like that? That's kicking into a higher realm, friends. That's the way that God would handle the situation. That's what divine love really is. So this issue of love, of agape love, is a really important one. Because 1 John 4 verse 8, we already read it. Let's read it again. 1 John 4 verse 8. It tells us the very essence that God is. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. So God has life in himself. God is a judge. God is all manner of things. But the very essence of his nature, his character, God is agape love. That's what he is. He is agape love. And if he's going to come inside of your heart, when he comes in you, it's going to be agape love. That's why Paul says the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. So if we say we got the Holy Ghost, but it didn't bring perfect love, I don't know what kind of Holy Ghost that was. Because the essence of this great Spirit, God, is agape love. You know, so we can't be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and hate somebody. It just doesn't go together. You can't hate your brother if the Holy Ghost is really in control of your soul. You can hate somebody if you've allowed the agape love to get real dim and you've resisted the dove and he's trying to get you to make things right and with your brother, your sister, and you don't want. You can resist and grieve the Holy Ghost and allow your natural temperament to take over. But that's disobedience. That's not natural for a believer to do that. The natural thing for a born-again believer to do is to love. It's your nature. If you are partakers of the divine nature, what is God's nature? God is love. So how can we have some kind of other nature and say we've got a divine nature? No. And the prophet says the bride is Christ's matching piece.
That's right.
And who is Jesus? He's the very heart of God. He's the greatest, the truest expression of agape love was the person of Jesus Christ. That's who he is. Jesus is agape love made flesh. His life was agape love personified from the day that he was born to the day that he died. He was agape love.
Amen.
He was the expression. The Bible says he is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
So God is love, and Jesus was the image of this invisible God. So what is God's image? God's image is love. It's agape love. Divine love and sovereign grace. That's how the prophet preaches those kind of messages. And friends, it's very good to get back to those things. Now to me, these things used to be so precious in the days of my youth. Because everything else will fail. He says tongues will cease, prophecies will fail, but love never fails. This particular resource never fails. It'll never fail. Whenever you get back to this fountain, it's going to be the same as it was the last time you got there. And it's going to do to you the same that it did to you the last time that you went to visit. It's going to bring forth the same characteristics. It's going to do something for you exactly the same every time you're going to drink from it. Because this is God. And God is love. And he goes and repeats it in verse 16, if you can put it for us there, bro. In verse 16, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." Amen. So if we're dwelling in hate, we're not dwelling in God, we're dwelling in death. That's what it's going to say. But if we're dwelling in agape love, we're dwelling in God. You can't walk with God and not love people. What sort of God are you walking with? How can you walk with agape love and not have agape love? How can agape love be in you and you not express agape love in some way? Friends, this is a real distinguishing factor that John is bringing to us from what Jesus told us. He says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciple. When you have love, agape love one to another." That's how we'll know true disciples, when we have love one to another. Now we can try to bring it to anything else, but the prophet says you can put a rabbit, it can try to get away from you in the pen, but as long as you stand in the door, it's going to have to come back to you at some time to get out. And we can argue and fuss about everything else, but if we just keep standing in the scriptures, we're going to say, brother, the answer is agape. Amen. If we want to go be there, we've got to have agape. If we're walking with God, we've got to be expressing agape, because God is love. This is the very essence of this great being called God. So God is love. God also shows love. Because agape love is an active force. Agape is God. God is not inactive. God is always, Jesus says, "My Father worketh and I work hitherto." God is always at work. And when you get back in the spirit of agape, you won't just be able to sit and do nothing either. You'll be wanting to show mercy. You'll be wanting to testify. You'll be wanting to heal, you know, relationships. You'll be wanting to do something. Every time you get yourself renewed in the presence of agape love, you think of serving. You think of sacrificing. You think of doing something for somebody, or doing something for the Lord. Because agape is an active force. What is our scripture? John 3 verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave. The most precious thing, that was sacrificial giving. Because of the essence of who God is, agape love, that very essence, that nature that he is, it makes him give the most precious thing on behalf of other people. That's the nature of love. Agape love, as we'll see, is sacrificial love. It's sacrificial love. The exact opposite of agape love is selfishness. As far as the east is from the west, God is completely unselfish. There's no selfishness in God. There's no selfishness in agape love. There's selfishness in filial love. There is. You know, we wanted to get something from the relationship. We wanted to get something from somebody. That's why we show them favor so that we're going to get some favor back. Well, that's a part of the human makeup. But that's different than agape love. Agape love is totally unselfish. My. Is that not what the world is thirsting for, friends? Amen. Is to see real unselfish love. To see a display of unconditional love. That I'm going to love you despite the conditions. Amen. I may love you and you may spit in my face and I'm going to still love you some more. Amen. And then you're going to speak against me and I'm still going to love you. Amen. That's what God does. That's God's love. Amen. Whew, friends, that's perfect love. Amen. And only perfect love enters there. And that's the condition of being a disciple. We've got to be recipients of perfect love. By this shall all men know, if you have this kind of a love. So God shows love. 1 John 4 verse 9. We're right there nearby. I'm just looking a lot in 1 John here. First John chapter 4 verse 9, he says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us." God's love will all... he says something really interesting. He says, if you could take all the oceans that are in all the worlds and you could pile them up in a pipe about this thick. He says, imagine if all those waters were going up in a pipe. He says, imagine the pressure at the bottom of that pipe. He says, that's how the love of God is. God so much wants to express himself. But he needs the right conditions to express himself. And it's determined by our will. If we don't want to allow his agape to express itself through us, although he can put the pressure on us and he can do everything he can to say, I want to express who I am through you. I want to express forgiveness through you. I want to express grace through you. I want to express unconditional love through you. But we can block the pipe. In that same quote, the prophet says he so much wants to make love with your starchy heart. It's when our hearts get starchy and cold and the atmosphere is wrong and the conditions wrong, then he can't express that love through us. But there's a great pressure in heavenly places that he wants to manifest himself. He wants to express himself. He wants to make himself known. And what was the greatest manifestation is here. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That God has to find some way to express himself, and the perfect expression was in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet says, I used to think God was angry with me and that Jesus loved me. Then I went to find out that Jesus is the very heart of God. Amen. That Jesus is God as a man, God made flesh. So if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks about you, how did Jesus treat his disciples? How did Jesus treat other people? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He hasn't changed. He's still got the same heart of love. Amen. He's still got a heart that's full of grace and mercy today, the same as he did when he walked among men. But love wants to express itself. That's why God is love, but God also needs to show love. That's his nature. He can't just keep it to himself. That's not the way that love is. Love is something that you can't keep to yourself. Love is something that it so much presses because it wants to express itself in some way. That's the characteristics of agape love. Now in Galatians 5 verse 22, the third thing, God is love, God shows love, and God gives love to his children. Agape love is not something that we're born with. It's not something that we have within ourselves. He has to give it to us. He has to give us agape love. Galatians 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You can't love without him loving through. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But you've got to keep drawing the resources. That's why sometimes our love waxes dim. And we've got to go back to this fountain. We've got to go back to the rivers of living waters. We've got to drink once again. And then we start looking at our brothers and sisters the right way once again. And then we don't feel everybody's against us anymore. But we start feeling, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, you're going to start looking at things different because you're looking at it from another kind of an atmosphere again. Because you're drawing from this eternal resource of the greatness of agape love. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So God wants to pour that out in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. That's why God enables us also to express agape love. Now, just to characterize these three different levels of love. Eros, lust. It's love that takes and never gives. Somebody who's full of lust, he just wants to take something from somebody. He wants to satisfy his own desire, but he's not interested in giving. That's the devil. Filial love is love that gives as long as it keeps receiving. You see, you're going to keep giving as long as you keep receiving. But agape is love that willingly gives, whether it receives in return or not. This is a higher level of love, friends. This is something beyond humanity here. This is something divine. This is divine love. But he wants to express this divine love through us. He wants people to know who he is through us. And the only way is when you have love one for another. That's what he says. That's the real discipleship. This is the highest form or kind of love. This is the capstone. If you can put for us Colossians chapter 3 verse 14. Look what Paul says about this kind of love. We know in the King James it's called charity, which is agape love. Colossians 3 verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Amen.
This is perfection here. This is the bond. This is the seal of perfection in the life of a person. My. It's a wonderful thing. You can't ever read about agape love or read about Jesus and not want to be like him. You can't ever taste of that great fountain of love and be born again and not want to plunge yourself deeper into that love and lose yourself in there, despite the conditions of the age that are not conducive to it. But you want to put on charity because this is the bond of perfectness. And that's how when the prophet got there, that's exactly what was said. It says, this is perfect love. Nothing can enter here without it. And Jesus said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And the prophet says, you can never be perfect in yourself. If we're going to attain unto perfection, we're going to have to receive this perfection. If we're going to attain unto this agape love, he's going to have to give it to us. Remember the prophet that day when he was in Portland and the maniac came. And all the ministers scattered and the maniac came up and was going to make it an issue of flesh and blood. And the prophet told the policeman, leave the man. And the man came up right onto the stage and spat in the prophet's face. And the prophet says, something happened. He says, something came down. He says, I wish it could always be there. He said, it was divine love. And he says, instead of hating that man, when that man was saying, you snake in the grass, I'll show you whether you're a divine healer or not. Spat in his face. The prophet says, instead of hating that man, I loved him.
Amen.
He says, I wish I could always feel like that.
Amen.
You see, God's got to give you this love.
Amen.
God has got to pour it out. You'll always have a measure in you, but in order to express it properly, he's got to give it to you.
Amen.
And friends, there's things that we can do to enable him to give it to us.
Amen.
You know, there's a certain life we can live, because surely it's going to be a lot easier for God to pour agape in a deeper essence into us if you're walking in the Spirit than when you're walking in the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, the pressure's there. God wants to give us the resources that we need just when we need them, which was agape love that the prophet needed at that time. But the prophet was in the line of duty. The prophet was prayed up. The prophet wasn't walking in disobedience. The prophet wasn't holding a grudge or saying, I'm going to take revenge on this man, or who does this man think that he is? No, the prophet just had the right attitude towards the man.
Amen.
And being a believer, the prophet in the line of duty, God ministered the resources that were required at that time.
Right.
And what conquered the devils in that man was divine love.
Amen.
The prophet said that's the most powerful weapon, is divine love.
Amen.
The same as with the killer bull that time when it came.
That
killer bull came snorting, kicking the ground, running towards the prophet. They'd already killed a man just before that. And the prophet says, I looked at that bull. He says, the first thought I had was to take out my pistol, but I'd left it in the van. He says, it's a good thing I did, as I would have shot the bull and had to pay the farmer. He says, but something happened.
Hallelujah.
And the prophet, every time he says, and I wish it would happen now. And divine love came down. And there came an atmosphere, that same atmosphere that the saints are bathing in beyond the curtain of time now. That atmosphere just came down in a deeper portion and just poured forth into somebody's humanity, into somebody's circumstances that time. And when that wild bull came and got into that presence, it couldn't go any further. It was paralyzed by the atmosphere. That it seemed there was going to be just a conclusion here that you wouldn't want to think about. But the end result of that situation was a testimony.
Amen.
Because divine love was allowed to have its free course. Divine love could have its way.
Amen.
Because the prophet says, when I looked at that bull, I thought, oh, poor bull. You know, I've disturbed you. You know, I'm just going to go and pray for my sick brother, but I've come into your field. I've come into your domain. Now, you have every right to feel like that as a natural bull. He says, and the amazing thing is, instead of fearing, He says, I loved him. Amen. He says, I loved him. Is that natural? It's so natural. But it's the same thing that happened to Daniel in the lion's den. Amen. It was divine love. Amen. Stepping in on behalf of his faithful prophet. Amen. Right in the hour of need.
Amen.
You know, the prophet says, when divine love comes to an end, sovereign grace steps in and takes its place. Now, when you've done all that you can and you've tried to use your love and you've tried to do whatever you can, just wait. Grace steps in and produces the object when you can't produce it yourself. As long as you just keep the right attitude there. So that is why it's the essence, this essence of divine love. Anything we do for God, which isn't born from this divine love, perfect agape love, is not acceptable service. You know, we've said it already, and we can prophesy, do all manner of things. We can preach, do all manner of things. But if the motivation behind what you're doing, if it's not done in love, it's not acceptable to God. We can pray for people they be healed. We can move mountains with our faith. We can have all knowledge and spellbind people by our knowledge. But if it's not derived from agape love, if it's not coming from the motivation, the source of divine love, Paul says it profits us nothing. Amen. And there'll be no reward on that day. But if it comes from genuine divine love, if it comes from the right motive and the right objective, you know, it's an unconditional kind of something. Whatever you're doing, you're trying to do it for the good of the person. Whether they give you a thanks or give you a pat on the back in return or not, it doesn't really matter. It's an unconditional thing that you're doing. That's what agape love is, and that is real acceptable service before the Lord. When it comes, you're not looking for the praises of people. Well, although you like the praises of people, we all do. It encourages along the way once in a while. But that's not what you're doing anything for. And whatever service that you're doing for the Lord, let it be governed with that motive. Amen. Because that was the life that Christ lived. Amen. That was the atmosphere that he lived in. Amen. Now, agape love is sacrificial love, like we said. You know, there's something about this love. Whenever somebody has this love, there's a willingness and a desire to sacrifice for the Lord. To sacrifice for the good of somebody else. To sacrifice for the kingdom of God. You'll find whenever somebody is governed by agape, whenever this atmosphere is around them, you ask, what's the scripture? Genesis 22. When Abraham entered into that realm as a perfect type of God, when he was told to go and sacrifice Isaac, and he somehow moved into that realm of agape love and started to feel the way that God did, Abraham was willing just to please Jehovah.
Amen.
To sacrifice his most precious thing. And there was no promise of him receiving anything in return. There was no promise. God never said, I'm going to raise him up. It was faith, yes. Abraham knew that God gave a promise. But when Abraham went that day, that was mature love in Abraham.
Amen.
Friends, that was a walk you would desire to have with God. That the Lord can come down and say, Abraham, take the most precious thing that you've got. And because it pleases me, go and sacrifice it for me. Go and burn it upon the altar as a burnt offering for me. And you don't kick and you don't fuss and you don't reason it out or find some excuse or some reasoning. But you just wake up early the next day. And you're going to cut the wood yourself. And you take your donkey, you take your young men, and you walk hand in hand up the mount with the most precious thing that you've got. But because you're so governed from another realm, you're not now being governed by filial love. Filial love would have found everything to object. Every reason to say, but Lord, no, it cannot be like this. I'll offer something else instead. Anything that you ask, but please, not my son. But he was walking in agape love. He had somehow entered that realm where God is. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And all of a sudden Abraham started to sense something that, no, this pleases Jehovah. Oh, I'll give him everything, my life and mine all. And he took the most precious thing that he had and he laid it upon the altar and he bound it on the altar. And he took the sacrificial knife and he was about to plunge the knife into his bosom. And what did the Lord say? He says, Abraham, now I know you love me.
Amen.
Now I know that you love me above everything. Because you were willing to sacrifice this. Friends, that wasn't natural. That wasn't Abraham in Genesis 12. That was Abraham in Genesis 22. That was love made perfect. That was the capstone. That was the bond of perfectness in the life of Abraham. To be able to come to that. And the prophet says, we're the seed of Abraham. So the potential is in us. To express such, God doesn't ask us to sacrifice our children anymore. I just want to make that clear. Because again, some brothers and sisters can be quite extreme in wanting to serve the Lord. He's not asking for that now. He's asking for you and I to be the sacrifice. That's what is. That's the burnt offering that He's looking for now. It's for us because of agape love. As it was in Fox's Book of Martyrs through the ages, those people, in that age that they were called to give the supreme sacrifice. That they loved their lives unto the death, the Bible says. Be thou faithful unto death and you shall receive a crown of life. You couldn't do it yourself. It had to be given to you. You had to be in His will. You had to be walking with Him. You had to be elected unto it. And then God poured down that anointing from above. And those people willingly went and gave their lives to be burnt, a burnt offering, a sacrifice. And they didn't do it grudgingly. They did it while they were rejoicing. Amen. They said, Christ has so privileged me. He wants to be glorified in my death. That's what they would say. Hallelujah. Friends, that's not natural to do that. But those are people that had been in contact with the realm of divine love. They'd been born from above. They'd been born of that realm. They could be governed by agape love. And that agape love allowed them to make that supreme sacrifice. That when their children would be crying and their wives would be crying and people would be pleading with them not to do it, there was just something that constrained them. Amen. It wasn't a law. It wasn't that somebody was coercing them or forcing them to do it. It wasn't they were trying to do something to atone for their sins. It wasn't that. Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. Amen. They were constrained. This love wanted to express itself in that way. This love wanted to be expressed to show how great somebody's love can be. And God gave them the love. And all they had to do was just yield themselves to that great fountain, that great river that had been opened to them, and just be carried along in that channel, in that source. And they fulfilled exactly what God asked of them. And imagine the great reward on that day. It's those kinds of people, friends, will be close to the throne in the new city. You find those that were beheaded, it says in the book of Revelation, they were given great honor. Those who died for their faith, like Paul and people like that. It was a great thing to do in their day, that's for sure. Now let's not forget that if agape love is sacrificial love, and that the greatest display of agape love was on Calvary. That was the greatest personification of agape was at Calvary. That was God showing the fullness of His love. That was the greatest sacrifice that was ever made. God could make no greater sacrifice. There can be no greater sacrifice made in time or eternity. And that was the natural result of the full expression of agape love was Christ on the cross. God Himself, because He so loved the world. Not that the world was lovable at that time. God didn't look through the world then and say, these people deserve this. Did we deserve it when we were born in sin and trespasses? We didn't deserve it. It's unconditional love. God saw what He could make us to become. God saw what redemption could do to Adam's fallen race. And that's what agape love does. It sees the potential. It doesn't look at the current situation, but it sees the best in a situation. It sees what can become of a situation. Now the bride, obviously, is to be the matching piece. But we're in fallen flesh. Jesus wasn't in sinful flesh. We're in sinful flesh. And this is the great enemy of the expression of agape love. Because we can hold a grudge. We can hold unforgiveness. We can meditate upon the wrong that people have done to us over and over again and build a complex. No, we can feed upon allow our fallen nature to feed upon negativity and the things that people have done to us. And we can embitter our experience. The prophet says we can get that root of bitterness and we can absolutely kill the Holy Ghost from our lives. He says we can so poison The atmosphere inside of here by the things we dwell upon and the things we say because of the things that we've been through, that we can grieve the Holy Ghost completely out of our experience. Hey, and then though we're born again people, but there's no more expression of agape love. There's just embers down there. And until we get the right attitude again, we start realizing, but if God so loved me, how can I hold this against my brother? If God loves me with such an unconditional love that God never held my offenses against me, how can I hold my offenses against my brother? How can I hold this against my sister? I've got to let agape express itself here. And then you find the fountain starts to flow once again. You know, you're not dry in your experience anymore. And the heavy hand of Jehovah isn't upon you the way that it was before. That great hand of burden that He puts upon your spiritual life when you're out of His will. When you're refusing to show grace, when you're refusing to show love. But the moment the attitude changes inside of you. And now you say, oh Lord, I want to express You once again. Because You so love me. How can I not love Him? How can I not love her? And then when God sees it unto you, that great pressure from on high, it's found a release valve once again. And then the agape can start to flow again. And you say, oh, what was I doing? Why was I holding these things in the way that I was? Why didn't I let these things go a long time ago? So that the flow of agape love can flow once again. And how precious it is in your experience. The prophet says, I was up there in the mountains, and he says, I had experiences that I haven't had since I was first a believer. He says, just that love of God. Friends, that's what we need, is that baptism of love. Because we're going to accumulate things as we go. It's natural as human beings. I'm going to step on your toes, and you're going to step on mine. And I'm going to misunderstand things that you do, and you're going to misunderstand things that I do. And though my motive may be pure, but when you see the outworking of my motive, what I'm trying to do through fallen flesh, you may get a totally wrong perception of what my motive was. My motive might have been perfectly pure and genuine. I wanted to bless you. I wanted to bless the people of God. But because of this mortality, because we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, sometimes it doesn't come out the way that it should. And if we're not living in that realm of agape love, it's so easy for us to take an offense. It's so easy for us to allow those things to accumulate. You may say, but I remember last year he did the same. And I remember that happened, and that, and that, and that. And we start building this entire barrier between one another. And then brother, that love can't continue anymore. Until somehow we get back into the realm of unconditional love. Amen. And then we say, I want unconditional love again, Lord. I don't want to just love somebody because they love me. Amen. I don't want to just love him. I don't just want to love her because of what she does to me, or because she's happy with me, or she's whatever. But I want to love with your kind of a love, an unconditional love. That's the real thing. Amen. And that's why agape love, it's God's love. That's the love that God has. That's the love that God is. And He pours it out inside of His people. And it so much is associated with sacrifice. Amen. Now if you have a look in John chapter 21, you'll see this is where Jesus uses both of these words, agape and filial love. But in our Bible, it all uses the same word. But you know the story. John chapter 21, when Jesus comes to speak to Peter, after Peter has denied Him three times, and the third time with a curse. And in John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. You notice He didn't call him Peter. Whenever you find Peter has fallen, and his old nature has come back, Jesus doesn't call him Peter anymore. He calls him Simon. And it's the son of Jonah, to show where he was born from, you see. The old man has expressed itself. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest, now this is agape he uses, lovest thou me more than these? He says, Simon, do you love me with sacrificial love? Do you love me with a love that you're willing to give it all? Do you think Peter could answer yes? He couldn't. Because look what he's just done. He's just denied Jesus three times to save his own skin. That's right. So what does he say? He said to him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I filio you. If you go and read the original, it says, I filio you. I love you with a human love. Lord, I love you because you've been good to me. And Lord, I love you for all the things that you've done for me. But for me, Lord, to say at this time that I love you with agape love, that I love you with divine love. A love that's willing to sacrifice it all. A love that's willing to give it away to express its love. I can't say that, Lord. I love you with filial love. And Jesus now to probe the wound once again before the healing can come. You ask him a second time in verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? Do you love me with agape love? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I filial thee. He saith, go and feed my sheep. Then he asked a third time. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, filial thou me. Do you love me just with filial love? And that grieved Peter. Because friends, even when you let the Lord down, we like to think we love him with agape love. And Jesus said, is that all that you have? Is that you love me with filial love? And it says, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, filial thou me. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. Agape love expresses itself in a sacrificial way. Agape love is willing to lay something down on behalf of somebody else. It's willing to pay the price in a sense. It's willing to take the burden upon itself that doesn't belong to itself. It's willing to take the blame. Many, many times Jesus took the blame for us. In order for the program and the plan of God to go forth, that is the very essence of agape love. But now when you go the other side of Pentecost, when agape was poured out inside of Peter in an abundant measure, what did he do? When he was going up to Rome, that vision which the prophet speaks about, and Peter was going up, and as he got near to Rome, he saw Jesus coming out of Rome carrying his cross. And then he said to him, where are you going, Lord? And he says, I'm going to be crucified again. Sorry, it was when Peter was leaving Rome and Jesus was going back in. And then Peter perceived by that he was to die for his Lord. And Peter went back knowing he was going to his death. And when they came and said to him, we're going to crucify you like your Lord, he says, don't crucify me that way. I'm not worthy to die like him. Crucify me upside down. And they put the cross and they crucified him upside down. And that's how he died. What made the difference was agape love. Amen. He had knowledge before. He had revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when the crunch came down, he couldn't kick into the gear of agape love. Friends, I don't want to be like that. Now, I've told that example many times from Fox's Book of Martyrs of that man who thought he could be burnt at the stake. Now, and he was arrested in the days of Bloody Mary, and he was put in prison because he was a believer in Wycliffe or John Knox or one of them, the message of the day. And he was in prison, and the Catholics tried to persuade him, tried to do all manner of things to him, kept him in a harsh condition and cold dungeon for months, trying to get him to renounce his faith. And he says, I'll never renounce. And then he was sentenced to death. And then he was told, you're going to be burned together with such and such people on a certain day. And he felt confident inside of himself. He was a believer. Amen. And then when he came to that day, and they came and led them out of the dungeon and took them to Smithfield in London where they would burn the people. And there was the stake. And there was the flames. And they went to burn someone before him. And he saw the reality now of what it was to give your body to be burnt. He realized, as a natural man, I can't do this. And he started to cry and he says, I can't burn, I can't burn. And the priest ran to him and said, are you wanting to recant? He says, get away from me. I'm not saying I want to recant, just give me time to pray. And he started to pray and he got into such a desperation of prayer until he broke into agape love. And then he got up and he says, I can burn. I can burn. And he went as a lamb to the slaughter and he was burnt at the cross. Friends, you can't do it yourself. Sometimes to express agape love, you're going to have to wrestle with yourself. Amen. You're going to have to overcome yourself. Amen. What's the greatest example? It's divine love himself made flesh, Jesus. When he saw what agape love was leading him to do, to lay down his life for his friends in that way, to take up his cross. As a man, Jesus, he couldn't do it. It was hard. There was a resistance in him naturally. He had his own desire. The prophet says he loved the sunset. He loved to be with his disciples. He didn't want to die. And he had to get to Gethsemane. That's right. And there had to be a wrestling in prayer. until he could overcome himself. And he wanted some brethren nearby to be with him at that time so they could support him. Until finally he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And something broke inside of him. And he broke through into that realm of full submission. Then he could be the burnt offering that he was called to be. But many times it's going to be like that to you and I in our humanity. We're going to have a difference with a brother, difference with a sister, difference with our husband, our wife. And it's going to be a sharp contention and the devil's trying to take advantage. And friends, divine love wants to express itself. But our will doesn't want to go all the way in what divine love's leading us to do. And we'll find all manner of reasons why we can't do it. All manner of reasons to justify ourselves. And the easiest way is to look at the other person all the time. And say, but she did this, and he did that, and they did this. And we reinforce our own will. But all the time, agape is there pleading with us. This active force of agape is there saying, sacrifice for my will. I'm calling you like Abraham, take your most precious thing, go and put it on the altar, and let it be consumed, so that my will can be done. And friends, that is where, like they say, the rubber meets the road in your Christian life. Is it that kind of a time? Those are the make or break times where you either get promoted to a higher level in the spiritual realm or you just keep going around the mountain. You just keep going around the mountain. You never seem to get anywhere. It's when agape wants to express itself with an unconditional love and it's calling you to lay everything down. Surrender. And you know the greatest enemy is our reasoning at that time. We reason and we think and we have lots of reasons why it can't be done. But divine love doesn't reason, friends. That's why the prophet says many times in the Bible you'll find women were used of God in certain special instances because they were better qualified than men. He says when that woman came in and washed Jesus' feet, he says because women are more emotional. Now, when something comes to move them, they can just be moved. But a man, he wants to reason it out. But if I'm going to go there, there's Simon there, and what are people going to say? And what are the other brothers going to think? And we take too much time reasoning, and the anointing passes us by. The opportunity to do that special something for Christ passes us by. And that's why, friends, if we could be so yielded in our souls, surrender to Him, that when agape comes to lead us to do something, we could just respond. Oh, friends, what a life that you would live. That should be the life of Christ being lived once again in flesh. But what happens many times, our reasoning kicks in. Our memory kicks in. And all these things, and we start making this barricade, and we start building up all the reason in our human spirit why agape love shouldn't be expressed at that time. But friends, agape love is unconditional love. It's unconditional. It wants to express itself. It wants to show grace, unmerited favor. It wants to show forgiveness. Amen. Woman, where are your accusers? Amen. Where are your accusers? Amen. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It doesn't compromise with sin. But that's agape love, friends. It wants to express itself. But friends, it's a battle I've seen many, many times. You know the battle. I know the battle at those seasons of time when we can see that God is wanting to do something in our lives. God is wanting to deal with something in our lives. But sometimes it's so precious to us, we don't want to let it go. But like I say, if you love something, let it go. If it's yours, it'll come back to you. And God will give it back with measure, with blessing. Because once you've allowed yourself to give something over into the hands of the Lord, like Moses when they put him in that basket and they pushed him into that crocodile filled river. They gave a baby and they got back a deliverer.
Amen.
They got back somebody that came and delivered 2 million men plus the women and the children, whatever it was, and took them right the way to the promised land. And the prophet says that's how it is, that if you love your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it into his hands, you'll receive it in this world and in the world to come.
That's right.
And that's what agape love wants us to do, is just to surrender to Him. Now, agape love so much speaks about the burnt offering. Jesus was being called to become a burnt offering because of the love of God. That is what he was called to become, was a burnt offering for Jehovah. Ah, friends. Amen. It wasn't easy. But it's to him that overcometh that will sit on the throne. That's what Jesus says to him that overcomes will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. And I'm seated with my Father in his throne. And Jesus, when he saw now what I'm being called to do, I'm being called to lay aside every ambition that I've got. I'm being called to lay aside every dream that I can fondly hold on to. I'm being called to lay down everything, all my earthly relationships, all the ties that bind everything. Because Jehovah desires it. I'm being called to do it. The song says he didn't have to do it, but he did. And if he hadn't have done it, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know one another. We wouldn't know the blessings of God. We would never have tasted of the cup of agape love ourselves and been transformed in the inner man and born again. We never would have been changed from death, passed from death to life. But it was because our big brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love personified, made flesh, when he was called to lay it down and let it be consumed by the fires of Jehovah. It was hard. There was a struggle. But there was tremendous victory in the love divine.
Amen.
That's the victory, friends. Amen. That's the victory that overcomes. The prophet says the greatest victory is overcoming yourself.
Amen.
It's that act of breaking in your own will. Because agape love cannot express itself unless you will it to express itself.
Amen.
It's a conscious choice. You have to desire. It's not filial love, which is a feeling which you can't help. You can just end up loving somebody, but you never wanted to. You were just attracted to them. But agape love, godly love, divine love, it's an act of the will. God loves us because he chooses to love us. It was his choice before the foundation of the world. The purpose of God stands according to election. He determined in himself, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. It was his choice. And that's what agape love is. For me to show agape to somebody, I have to make a choice. But I don't have to make that choice. I can hold it back and things are going to stop right there. And the pressure is just going to build and the pressure is going to build and the pressure is going to build until I make that choice and release agape once again and let God have his wonderful way. And whatever he's calling me to be, whatever he's calling me to do, I just say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And he will be glorified and his perfect will shall be done. That's being a burnt offering. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. It won't take much longer. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. In fact, first let's read John 13 verse 34. Just to show that requirement once again of discipleship. John 13, 34. Let's just get it right the way that Jesus said it to us. It says, a new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another. That's agape love. As I have loved you. So he actually shows us, he says, and friends, those disciples at that time were dunderheads, a lot of them. Honestly. They weren't spiritual people. They were, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the king? They were misunderstanding Jesus all the time. Making their own plans of this, and who's going to sit at his right hand, and who's going to sit at his left. When the woman came and washed Jesus' feet, they were grieved with the woman saying, you're wasting this money. You should have sold it and given it to the poor. Many times they were so out of tune. But Jesus continued to love them. Because agape is unconditional love. It's not determined by the condition the people are in or what you can get back from the people or that they're meeting your expectation. Jesus loved them. And he says, you should love one another as I have loved you. But friends, we're very selective sometimes who we allow our love to be expressed to and shown to. No, we just want to love people that are compatible with us, that see things just the way we do. You know, when somebody disagrees with us, when somebody backbites us, when somebody, you know, misunderstands us, we don't want to love them anymore. But Jesus says, love people, one another, the way that I love you.
Amen.
Even when Peter's going to go and deny me three times, and while the curse, I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to love you, Peter. Thomas, you're going to doubt me so much that you're going to say, I don't believe that he's risen from the dead until I put my fingers. And Jesus loved him.
Amen.
And he came and said, sorry, Thomas, come and put your fingers. It's me. It's good that you believe now. Better you believe if you haven't seen.
That's right.
But that's what love is. Love accepted them the way that they were. Love wanted to make them what they were supposed to be. But even when they fell, even when they let him down, even when they didn't get the point to understand what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do, even when Peter would resist him and say, "No, Lord, you can't go up to Jerusalem," it didn't change Jesus' love towards them, because it was agape love. It wasn't filial love. This is love that never changes. This is God's own love. And Jesus loved them, the Bible says, unto the end. He loved them right to the end. Now, did Jesus only love those who loved him? Now, this is where we really need the grace of God. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read that. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 43. Now, Jesus is bringing them into a new covenant. Like we said on Friday with the youth, the veil's going to be rent, the Holy Ghost is going to be poured forth. The people can now partake of agape love. Under the old covenant, they never had that privilege. Therefore, God knew, I can't put a requirement on these people to hate their enemies, to love their enemies. God couldn't, under the law, say to them, you must love your enemies. It wasn't possible for a natural man, a man just born under the law. You couldn't be born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit hadn't yet been given in that way until Christ died on the cross. So, under the law, it says, verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Amen. That's agape.
Amen.
Love your enemies.
Amen.
Friend, for me to love my enemies, he's going to have to give me the love.
Amen.
And he's going to do it as long as I'm willing.
Amen.
If I'm willing, he's going to give me the resources that I need. Because I'm born again in my soul. I want to love everybody.
Amen.
It's not natural for a believer to hate.
Amen.
It's not natural for a Christian to hate. If you're born again,
right,
of that atmosphere of a divine love, you want to love everybody. It's this that gets in the way. And it's this that gives you a hard time. That's why don't listen to this and don't listen to this.
Amen.
Listen to the born again soul when it wants to express itself.
Amen.
That's why it's an act of your will. When someone has done you evil, the prophet says. Yeah? He says, he's done you evil and you know that he's done you evil. He says, don't say anything about it. But take him to prayer before the Lord. And when you go up there and pray at first, you're going to say, Lord, this brother's done evil to me. I know that he deserves to be punished. Then let God go speak into you. Let that atmosphere come down in prayer. He says, and you'll start to see things the way that God does. You'll start to understand what that person's been through. He says, you will start sympathizing with that person. He says, and when you come back down to earth, you will go and shake hands with that person.
Amen.
You went into prayer not even calling them a brother. You'll come out of prayer calling them a brother.
Amen.
That's the difference that agape love makes, but it's an act of your will. You could have said, I'm not going to pray about this. They were the one that was wrong. They must come and make it right with me. Let them perish in their iniquities. It's easy to become like that, friends.
Right.
We can become starchy in our experience. We can become hard-hearted in our souls.
Right.
We're not plowed up. We're not we're like a fallow ground where the seed, though you sow the seed, it can't take root. You need to plow up the fallow ground, like the Bible says. Repent, get broken before the Lord. Let the soil get broken up. Remove the rocks. Let it become good, prepared ground once again. And then you'll find the Lord will come and start moving you by agape love to feel towards people in a way that you haven't felt towards them for a long time. And if you wanted to go and fix certain things that maybe have been sitting outstanding for far longer than it should have been. And you'll no longer be saying, but it's up to them. You'll be saying, this is a sacrificial love.
Yeah.
If God so loved the world when I was in sin, but he gave his son for me. His son came to me when I was in sin. I want this to be resolved. I'm going to go and sit with my brother. I'm going to sit with my sister in an atmosphere of agape love. I'm going to be a burnt offering here. I'm going to lay myself upon this altar. And I'm going to say, Father, let agape work through me. Make me an instrument of thy peace, like that poster always says. Let me be an instrument to allow agape to be expressed, for your kingdom to be expressed. That's why he says it in verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you.
Amen.
Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. This is the requirements of the kingdom, friends. There's a lot of saints, I know, that if they had some toothpicks, they'd like to toothpicks that one out of the Bible. They would have said, no, I don't think that was really in the original, that one. But it was, because Jesus did that. Amen. They smote him. They plucked out his beard. They lashed him until his ribs showed through his flesh. And his flesh quivered from the beating. They took him to the cross. They laughed at him. They beat him with rods in his face. And said, prophesy, thou prophet, if you're a prophet. Tell us who smote you. Then they put him on the cross, hung him naked before the people. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. Amen. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. And we're supposed to be the matching piece. We're supposed to be the bride. Amen. We're supposed to be the one that was taken out of your side. Amen. And friends, we cannot even resolve simple differences sometimes among ourselves. And I look and I say, but how? Where is agape love? How can it take so long sometimes for us to resolve things, and when you really look at them, there's not a lot of issues in some of these things. It's just human temperament and human personalities getting in the way. Because people don't want to become burnt offerings. People don't want to just lay down and say, Father, for the sake of your kingdom, I forsake my will. Because I'm not the important one here. It's your body, it's your kingdom that's the important one. You the important one, Lord. But friends, I've never had things that can be such a burden as saints that cannot sort their things out. It's so hard. You'll try to mediate, you try to do this, that, and the other, but you'll just see people are entrenched in their positions. And you're saying, Lord, please, let agape move in here. Let grace move in here. I can't do anything as a man. It needs agape to move in. It needs a willingness just to let agape flow. Something has to break somewhere along the way and say, finished. I just want to resolve that. I'm tired of this now. I want his kingdom to come. I want his will to be done. But friends, then our reasoning kicks in again and we have 10,000 reasons why we can't do it. Don't listen to your reasoning. Put yourself in the presence of agape love. Amen. And whatever he speaks to you from that atmosphere, go and do it. Just follow what he's telling you to do. Follow that born again heart that's being led by agape love. It'll bring out such a blessing. It'll transform, it'll change things, friends. I plead with you the way that John did in the Bible. Please, saints, let agape have its way. Please. Me, I'm tired now of the difference between some saints. I'm tired. Please. It's worn me out, it really has. You know, it's worn me out. As a man, it has. I'm so worn out. Last Monday, I told Brother Wilma, I texted him, I said, Brother, ha! And to the brother said, I'm so worn. And it's just because of these issues. You say, but why can saints not sort these things out? I've had people recently from other places do a lot of evil against me. But I forgave them. I prayed for them. I have no grudge. It never affected me inside of my life. People who spoke evil of me. But I just go, at first it hurts you. Then you go in the presence of God. You get agape love back in your soul and it's finished. Amen. And you'd even be praying for that particular person to say, Father, that man doesn't understand. Please have mercy upon him. And then you see sometimes these differences we have, and they're not major differences, friends. They're just things that we need to resolve one with another by getting ourselves in the Spirit and sitting down with each other and facing up to the issues. And there's grace and mercy and forgiveness. There's an honesty. There's a willingness to move on. And then things move on. But please, saints, let's really seek a fresh baptism of love. That love to move into these things and to remove these things once and for all. So that God can take us further, God can take us higher. So the atmosphere can rise up, so that God can do wonderful things the way that agape love wants to express itself in the midst of the saints. I'm really pleading with the saints, please, let's resolve these things. Let's resolve these things. Because look what he's saying. Let's finish. Verse 45. Look, he says, verse 44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. It's an unconditional love. He says, this man's an atheist. It's okay. I'm going to give him a good harvest this year. This man doesn't believe in me. It's okay. Let him have a great promotion in his work, even above the believers. It happens all the time. That's the love of God. God just wants to do good. And he says, I'm going to pour my rain upon the just and the unjust. That's not fully your love. Fully your love, we all say that. He's not a believer. I'm not lending him any money. Sometimes it's better to lend money to the unbelievers because they pay it back for it. But that's the way that it is. Verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, you only greet certain saints in the church who agree with you and on your side and your point of view. You only greet them, God bless you, but there's another. I'm not going to say God bless to him. It happens, friends. But it shouldn't happen among the saints. Let love take us beyond those things. I'm not going to greet him. No. He never greeted me. I've got an issue with him. No. Let's resolve the thing. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect.
Amen.
As your Father in heaven is perfect. He's going to have to give it to us. And if we're willing, he'll give it to us.
Amen.
That same divine love that tamed the killer bull. Same divine love that stopped those hornets that day. Same divine love that changed the situation with the maniac. It's the same situation that will change the differences between believers. If they'll allow that same God to get involved. And just finish the things once and for all and say, for the sake of Christ and his body and the work, let's move on beyond these things. Because he is the vine and we are the branches. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's have a look at one more characteristic of divine love. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul speaks of divine love. And he speaks of the essence of what it is and what it isn't. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5. Sorry, it's verse 5. He's speaking of charity, agape love. He says, agape does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. It's not selfish. But what you want is the last part. Is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Now the literal translation there means charity, agape, takes not account of evil. And it comes from an old verb which is to means to use a ledger. And you're counting things and recording them in a ledger. You see, charity doesn't do that. Agape love doesn't say, he's done it again. And you put it in your book. Put the book in your pocket. Next time you come again, he didn't greet me again, and you put it in your book. That's what he's saying to us. He says, love doesn't do that.
Amen.
Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep an account, a score of what people have done to you. That's the attributes of love, friends. Our fallen nature does. If we'll allow the old man, the black horse, to have the preeminence, he will do that. But the white horse, the inner man, if you give him the preeminence, he doesn't do that. He takes a book, he tears it up and puts it in the sea of God's forgetfulness and says, Lord, I had a far greater book recorded against me up there. And you took your blood and said, pardon, and threw it in the sea of your forgetfulness. How can I be holding these accounts against my brother? That he did this, he did this, he did this. Paul says agape love doesn't do that. It doesn't hold accounts. It literally means to take account of as in a ledger or a notebook. To take account of the evil, in inverted commas, done to love with a view to settling the account. So you're keeping a record because one day you're going to balance these books. You're going to say, he's done that to me, but my day is coming and I'm going to balance things on the other side. Love doesn't look for revenge, friends. There's no vengeance in God in that way, revenge. God is a judge. As a judge, he has to judge sin in a righteous judgment. That's completely different. But agape doesn't look for vengeance. Agape doesn't hold a score against people. Doesn't hold things in a book of accounts with a mind, one day, I'm going to bring these things up. That's our old natures that do it, friends. And we shouldn't really do that. Let's look at the final thing about love. Hebrews 12 verse 6. Let's never forget that love is corrective. Agape love is corrective. But let's look at this final thing about correction. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, that's agape, if you can read. So whom the Lord loves with agape love, He chastens. Amen. He scourges. He whips. Amen. Every son that he receives. But what is the motive behind it? It's for your good. Amen. See, that's why correction and all these kind of things, as long as it's done with the right motive, it's coming from agape love. Amen. It's very acceptable to do it.
Amen.
It's not love to let somebody continue on in their sin. That's not agape love. That means you don't really love that person. You might love them with a filial love, but you don't love them with agape love. You don't care about their destination. You don't care about the consequences they're bringing upon themselves. But if you allow agape love to come in, you're going to go and tell that person the truth. You're going to go and say, sister, it's wrong for you to listen to this kind of music. You're going to say, sister, it's not right for you to watch these kind of things. Brother, it's not right for you to hang around with those kinds of people. As long as it's done from agape love. Because as many as he loves, he rebukes us sometimes. He chastens us. He corrects us. Why? Because he loves us. He's thinking of us. What's the best thing for us? You know, it's the best thing. They need to be away from some of those things. That's why he cries out against those things in this age, in the message of the hour. That was agape love in the prophet that was crying out against the sins of this age. Because God doesn't want to judge us when he judges this age. That's why God, friends, it is corrective. Now there's that saying somebody once said, and I liked it so much concerning children. It says, I love you so much that I'm not going to let you get away with that.
Amen.
And it's true.
Amen.
If you really love your child and they're getting a bad characteristic, a bad mannerism, true love says, I'm not going to let you get away with that.
Amen.
It's finished now. You're in trouble about this from now on. And you wage warfare against the characteristic, not against the child. Because of agape love. Because you love them. And the motive and the resource that correction is coming from is from agape love. You want the best for them. And you know they're not going to get the best if they continue on the way that they're going. So agape love is going to correct them. That's the way that it is. And that's why we appreciate his correction. But sometimes we take an offense when love comes to correct us. When love comes to try to get us down the right channel once again. When love tries to get us to rid ourselves of influences and thoughts and attitudes and purposes that are not doing us any good. But it's agape love. It's love because you're desiring good for the people involved. I'll finish with this quote here. It's from Adoption again. Thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For that's all that there was there. No matter how many, how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, whatever you've done, that won't count for nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else. So there's something we can do, friends. We can lay aside everything else. Lay aside everything else. Until you are just so filled with the love of God, till you can love those that hate you.
Amen.
That's what the prophet's telling us to do. Lay aside everything. Paul told us, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let's press on towards the mark for that prize of perfection. The capstone, perfect love, that we can come to maturity in perfect love, like our father Abraham, that we can come to that place that he can ask us difficult things because it pleases him. And we'll just lay ourselves upon the altar and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, what a blessing that it'll be on that day, friends. But if you want to be there, you want to be caught up into that atmosphere for the wedding supper of the Lamb, if you want to be here when that atmosphere comes down, that realm comes down for the honeymoon of 1,000 years, if you want to be there in the city of love, the city of gold, the new city, Jerusalem, we've got to get perfect love here, friends. That's the prerequisite. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, saints, just to really appreciate the Lord for His goodness, for granting us of His love and His grace. Let's sing that song about perfect love. Because you've chosen the narrow way, the hardest way, there's a huge portion of heaven awaits you. This is what will produce the great victory in the love divine.
Because you are
chosen the narrow path, hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven that's waiting for you because of what you've decided. That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. As far as many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh,
to walk in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot
of our beloved one coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
My desire, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Let's sing one more breath. Let's sing that song. Now's my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I'm tired of going around this mountain.
Amen.
Heading to the Jordan. I'm going to be a burnt offering. The Jordan speaks of death. Into the promises. Agape love.
There's a deep
and inward hunger
within my soul. God has promised in His word, He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. For I'm tired of tramping on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. I see a prison breaking. I see a breaking. The power that will bind, that number up the poor ministry. Oh, a power that will bind, that number up the poor ministry. Now is my time for consecration. I must see change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. For I'm tired of tramping on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Hey, Lord, Lord, before me, I see a vision breaking. I see a breaking power that will bind the number of the poor ministry. Oh, power, power that will bind the number of the poor ministry. Lord, keep Thy holy fire burning, deep in my soul. Change me from glory unto glory, till Thy image You behold. Let's keep this holy convocation to truth and sincerity. For it's the message in you and me to bring to pass that tremendous victory. For I'm tired of tramping on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. I'm heading low, low before me. I see a vision breaking. I see a breaking. How that will bind the number of the poor ministry. A power that will bind the number of the poor ministry. Oh, a power that will bind the number of the poor ministry.
Let's bow head, saints. Don't you want to bind that number up today? You know what binds him, friends? Is an atmosphere of agape love. Is a heart that responds and that follows the heavenly dove. It gives no room to the number. Why don't we bind him today in prayer? Let's all come before the Lord and let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church to say, Lord, today for the final time, we're going to bind that number, Lord. We're going to cast him out, Lord. He's not going to feel at home in this place no more. And Lord, as for me inside of my heart, he ain't going to feel at home. because heaven will come down and blessings will fill my soul. Let that be our prayer. Come before the Lord, saints. Let's seek His face today by the grace of God. Father, bringing ourselves before Thee at this time, just as Your people, Heavenly Father, just desiring, Lord, Your grace, just desiring Your mercy, Lord.
Shepherd us, Lord, to become the nature of Israel. Help us, Jesus. Grant us grace, grant us mercy. Let me, Lord, show your fire. Stay, Lord, into that presence, Lord. Father, we be soaked in that.
Let's continue in worship, saints. Let's sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day With Love, as I walk with the heavenly dove.
Let me walk blessed,
Lord. Amen.
Let me walk blessed, Lord, in the way thou hast gone, straight to the land and giving cheer every way to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love.
Oh, hallelujah.
Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly, heavenly dove, let me go the ride with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. Let me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness. Keep my pathway from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with, oh, hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, I walk with the heavenly go the ride with the song and the smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon the race will be o'er. I'll travel no more. Not abide in that home. Abide in the home above. Let me see. Blessed King, the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with, oh, hallelujah. Fill my way every day with love. Yes, I walk with the heavenly dove. Heavenly dove, let me go all the while
with the song
and the smile.
Fill my way every day with love.
Oh, hallelujah.
Fill my way
every day with love.
With love.
As I walk with the heavenly
love,
let me go the wine
with the song
and the smile.
Fill my way
every day with love.
You know, Noah had been in the ark. The storms had been sounding. Judgment was outside. It was a scary situation. And then came the dove. And it had the olive branch in its mouth. And it was the end. And Noah could come out of there and make an altar and thank the Lord that everything had passed away and all things had become new. What a blessed thing. Let's sing that song, On the Wings of a Snow White Dove.
Noah had drifted on the floods many days. He searched for land.
He searched for land
in various ways. Troubles he had.
Troubles he had some,
but not from above.
Not from above.
God gave him a sign. On the wings of a dove.
Oh, on the wings of a dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure sweet love.
The sign from above.
On the wings of a dove, Jesus our Savior came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay.
Though he rejected,
but not from above. God gave us his sign. On the wings of a dove.
On the wings of a dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure sweet love.
A sign from above.
On the wings of the dove. Though I have suffered in many a way, I cried for healing both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave us his sign. On the wings of a dove.
On the wings of a dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove. God sends his pure sweet love.
A sign from above.
On the wings of a dove. Now the prophet has left us, but he showed us the way. He said, look unto Jesus, from there unto day. For Jesus has promised, from the depth of his love, he sent us a sign. On the wings of the dove.
On the wings of the dove.
On the wings of the snow-white dove. God sent his pure sweet love.
A sign from above.
On the wings of a dove.
Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name, I Bless Your Name, before we come to a close.
Prisoners chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and silence spread the night, and in their pain began to sing.
Well, they began to sing.
Their chains were loosed and they were free.
Whoa,
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find your enemy, send me to your mind. Reach out and pray.
Reach out and pray.
Defy those chains. The truth of the way. Bless your name. I bless your name.
So we find
that in your life,
you're in the midst
of times so hard. Reach out by faith,
reach out by faith,
to hearts and
hearts,
and to find you're not alone.
We bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give.
The truth away.
I bless your name.
Oh Lord, I bless your name.
Last Brother Max, if you wouldn't mind come to dismiss us. Let's sing that chorus again, Saints, as the brother comes. Let's remember Brother David called two in prayer as well. He went into the hospital last week for his eye. So let's really keep the brother before the Lord.
I bless your name. I give you honor,
I give you praise.
You are the light,
you are
the truth,
the truth, the way.
Bless your name,
oh Lord, I bless your name.
Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this afternoon. Today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We know.
Amen.
Every chain has been broken.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Every strength have been loosened.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
Of the truth, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Your word is profitable.
Yes, Lord.
For reproof.
Yes.
For corrections.
Amen.
For instructions.
Yes, Lord.
For rebuke.
Amen.
So that we, your children, O God.
Amen.
Will be thoroughly finished.
Yes.
Unto all good works.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, this afternoon we came.
Amen.
And you have spoken to us.
Yes, Lord.
The Holy Spirit has spoken to us.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, we know is because you love us.
Amen. Yes.
You love me.
Yes.
You love my brother.
Yes, Lord.
You love my sister.
Hallelujah.
You love this church.
Yes, Lord.
That's why you paid a price for
yes,
it.
Lord.
A
yes,
debt you Lord. Never owned.
Amen.
But because of agape
yes.
love,
yes,
Lord Jesus, yes, Lord. You came
yes, Lord.
Down.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, to set us free.
Hallelujah.
And this afternoon, Lord,
yes, Lord,
we bless your name.
Amen.
That whatever has
yes,
been in this
Lord.
Church,
yes, Lord,
we believe that today,
amen.
Oh, it is complete. It is ended.
Yes,
it's
Lord.
Finished.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank
Let
Lord Jesus
so,
that we are living here, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Now, as one church,
oh Lord,
with one accord,
amen,
with one harmony,
yes Lord,
with one love, agape love,
hallelujah, yes Lord,
Lord, we believe it, oh Lord,
amen. Yes Lord, yes Lord.
Father, we thank you, we bless you,
amen.
That whenever, Lord, we are getting out of the way,
amen,
there is always your word,
yes,
to bring us,
yes,
back,
Lord,
in line.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
Father,
yes,
we bless,
Lord,
you.
Thank you, Father.
We have really, Lord, have met you this afternoon.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord Jesus, we will never look back again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, the past is gone.
Hallelujah.
We look forward now.
Amen.
Oh, yes, towards that mark. Oh, Lord, the excellency in the knowledge of you, Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
so
all that we need now, Lord.
Amen.
That let the Holy Spirit now overshadow us.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
overshadow Lord. Us, Lord.
Amen.
Sweep over this church.
Yes,
Lord. Amen. That, Lord, as you said, you present to yourself.
Yes, Lord.
That holy church.
Amen.
Without blemish,
yes,
without
Lord.
Spot,
yes,
without wrinkle, oh God.
Hallelujah.
That this church will, yes, stand, Lord. Lord.
Yes,
to be that same church, Lord.
Yes.
You said you will present to yourself, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
we,
Lord,
thank you, we bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we remember our precious brother David.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we thank you, God.
Yes.
You are the one that can heal all manner of diseases.
Yes, Lord.
Ah, we have known you, Lord. We,
amen,
have known you.
Yes.
That many a time, oh Lord, the blind were set free.
Yes,
Lord,
Lord,
they were able to see.
Hallelujah.
And you are the same today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we commit our brother into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
That,
yes,
he,
Lord,
will be totally restored, his,
amen,
sight to God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And,
amen,
Father, even we use him as a point of contact, Lord.
Amen.
And that anyone that's sick amongst us, Lord,
yes, Lord,
is healed this afternoon.
Yes, Lord.
We have been healed in our souls,
yes, Lord, yes, Lord,
healed in our minds,
yes,
healed in our,
Lord,
thoughts. Oh, thank,
yes,
you, Lord,
Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For the agape love.
Amen.
Agape love.
Yes.
Oh, now that is agape love reigning in this church.
Yes.
We thank you, we bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, as we are living here, oh, amen, even before we leave, we shall hold one another's hand.
Hallelujah.
And embrace one another.
Yes, Lord.
It is finished.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Please,
we bless,
Lord,
you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we commit the rest of the week into your hands.
Please, Lord,
amen,
bless us.
Our Wednesday's,
Lord,
meetings, our Friday's,
amen,
meetings.
Yes, Lord.
In our homes.
Amen.
Our children back to school.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we bring them before you, God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, once again, that love, oh Lord,
yes,
will,
Lord,
always prevail amongst us.
Hallelujah.
In our homes, in our marriages.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let these things, oh God, continue,
amen,
to be, Lord, part of our lives,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
That when we look,
amen,
to our brother, we will see no more. No,
amen,
more, no one but what? Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
In one another. In Jesus' name,
in,
oh Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
We thank you for this afternoon.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for our pastor, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless,
amen,
him, Lord.
Please, Lord.
For using him this afternoon.
Thank you, Father.
In this special way.
Yes, Lord. Thank
we
you,
bless
Lord.
Your name in Jesus'
bless
name.
Your name, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Saints, God bless you. Let's greet one another as we dismiss. Let's sing as we dismiss holy words long preserved for our walk in this world.
Holy words long preserved for our walk. In this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us grow. In this world, where every roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with hope. Of our faith for our night.
came to us through sacrifice. Oh, he paid for the words of Christ. He was long preserved for our hope. In this world, they resound with God's own heart. Holy ancient words in oh, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Holy ancient words in ancient words, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts.